Yeah, baby, another edition of Tech Watch Radio coming to you from the studios of NPI Network Providers Incorporated. NPITechGuys.com is our website. That's NPITechGuys.com. Or if you want to check out our corporate consulting site, not just the podcast, the news site, then you can go to NetworkProvidersInc.com. Check it out. We're here for you. My name is Sam Bushman, and I'm a consultant for NPI. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Sam. How are you?
Jay Harrison. Excellent, sir. Jay Harrison with me, ladies and gentlemen, and we keep an eye on tech so you don't have to. This is kind of interesting, keeping an eye on tech, Jay. Headline, Instagram is working on a feature that would allow others to put their own kind of spin on your reel. Now, this is going to get wonky kind of quick, I think. So if I have an Instagram reel, I guess, Jay, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
And I put it out there, then you can do your kind of take on my reel, so to speak.
Okay. So this is more than just a reaction or something. It's more like a like a rebuttal or a, what do they call that in TikTok? We were just talking about in a previous episode, TikTok. But there's a term for it when they repost or pin or whatever.
No, this is more than that. Because you put your, quote, spin, quote, is what they got. So spin kind of means something in their lingo or whatever. On your reel, so they can put their own spin on your reel, and how flexible and what control you have to put what kind of details into the quote spin. Because I guess if you're going to create a new term, is it a whole new video? Is it a what? I don't know what it's going to be like. I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, I think it's going to be just basically like where you can quote it and kind of pin that one and be able to reference it. So you take a little excerpt out of it, talk about it, you know, play parts of it if you want to. But then it links back to the original video. It sounds very similar to kind of what TikTok's doing.
So in a way, you know, you could say great new technology. In a way, you could say, hey, maybe they're just playing catch up, right, Jay?
Yeah.
It all depends on how feature rich it is. Meaning, can I put my video in line with them? Or can I put me on the screen talking at the same time they are and pausing them like I'm talking to them directly? Or you know, how advanced can it be, right?
Yeah. We'll have to see. I like it when they bring out new features, though. I think it's pretty cool.
Well, and whether they're playing catch-up or whether they're kind of blazing the trail, the details are in the features, which we haven't seen yet is the point.
Yeah.
We will check this out and keep an eye on it and let you know, though. And the point is they're working on this feature, and it could be kind of cool when they say you can put your spin. It really depends on what is their version of spin. What does that mean in this app in terms of its functionality and capability? For example, can my spin include me and AI together?
Sure, why not?
So can I fact check you with my spin using AI on the fly to research and have AI tell me the truth and see if it jives with your truth? I don't know if it'll get that interactive, right?
I like how you said your truth, Sam.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean yours as in Jay's. I just
no,
mean
no,
yours,
I know.
Right?
But like we all have our own truth, right?
Well, no, the truth is the truth.
Right.
It's not your truth. But the point is if you say something publicly, let's say you're a politician, you say something publicly, I'm going to call that your truth right now. Because if it's really true or not.
Yeah, but
if
you're
it's not
taking
true,
issue
it's a
with
lie.
It.
Okay, so now it's a debate. And sometimes there's a right and wrong, a true and false. Other times, though, there's, I wouldn't say there's multiple truths, but
well,
there
can be a matter of opinion.
Look at things.
Yeah. Your favorite color might be red and mine's green, but that doesn't make either one right or wrong necessarily. But that's not like a matter of, you know, did this event happen at this time kind of a thing.
Right, or if we both go to an event, we may come back and tell different stories, but both be telling the truth.
Yeah, from based on perspective and how
that's
things
right.
were. Yeah.
Anyway, it's very interesting. We'll just kind of see what this means. If TikTok gets banned, where will people go? I don't think it will be banned, by the way. That's from the last episode, just so you know. But now Instagram working on this feature, and I really wonder how much of a tweak and how, I don't know what you want to say. For example, let's say Jay does his video. Then I want to do my quote spin on it. Can I press a button and make me look and sound like Jay? And my spins, my AI generated Jay on my behalf?
I hope not. No, I don't think it's going to be that at all. And as the person who originally created the video, I don't think you're going to have any control either over how they use it or what they do with it. I think this is just a way to get people to create content because when
I
you
understand.
Get people working off of each other and that interaction.
But abusers are gonna make a version doing exactly what I'm telling you.
Well, yeah, they will. AI can do that kind of stuff, but that stuff is getting almost quasi-illegal. I mean, remember, I think we even talked about the people impersonating Biden and making all those phone calls and stuff, and they got slammed down.
And it is illegal, but even so, is spamming is illegal, and it's done all the time for big money. So you just watch. True. Big money's behind this, and there will be a, I don't know what you want to call it, an evil side to AI, an underground kind of whatever you want to say, where there's big money in. Distraction, deep fakes, whatever word. I mean, I'm telling you right now, this points to that big time in terms of the starting. I know this isn't that, but I'm telling you that's where it leads. Anyway, there you have it. All right. What if your computer's been hacked, Jay? People are just like, you know what? I hear this all the time. First off, you need to know if it's really true or not.
Yeah, a lot of people think their computer's hacked, and it's just because they clicked the wrong button or whatever.
Well, or people think their computer's hacked because, you know, it's running slow or it's this and that. And it may be hacked, right? But you've got to just step back and say, let's just prove if it's hacked or not. And there's ways you can kind of know. You can get a digital person in there to kind of confirm, hey, you know what? There's none of this stuff on here with all the tools that we know of and everything else. But short of that, there's a lot that you can do yourself to make this the case. So if someone just says, hey, man, for example, I had a person that I'm really close to email me. No, they texted me the other day. And they said, Sam, have you been hacked? I'm like, no, why? They're like, because we're seeing all these things. We're getting pictures of you and then your name randomly. And then when we, you know, click on it or whatever, it just goes to something entirely that doesn't relate. And so my first thought is, no, I haven't been hacked, but you have.
Right.
Because I'm just going, okay, that's, you know. So then, but I wrote back and I said, what technology are we using to determine this? I mean, are you seeing these in Facebook or on your text or email? I mean, where are you seeing the, and I haven't got the answer to that detail yet. But I bring that up because that's how you can kind of troubleshoot some of these things.
We
got to
call them right now, Sam, on the air and find this out. I mean, we got to get to the bottom of it right now, Sam.
We really should. You're probably right about that. But anyway, if you suspect your computer has been hacked, network providers put together kind of a newsletter article that talks about what to do. Do these five things now if your computer's been hacked. It's a pretty good summary of kind of what matters here, Jay, I think, on this topic.
They do. They've got a five-step article here that you can subscribe also to these newsletters and get some of this information delivered right to your inbox, too. But number one, they say take the network offline and isolate the incident, but do not turn off the device or reboot it. When a device is working the way it should be, the go-to move is to hit restart, but in many scenarios, this maneuver may or may not work. If malware is involved, the simple act can make the situation worse. In some circumstances, rebooting your device can set in motion a crashed file encryption process that can make unrecoverable data loss. So disconnect your device from the network, but allow it to remain on as you move through the steps. Is there advice? I happen to take issue with that a little bit, though, because I think you should shut it down right away. And the reason for it is this. I've seen, and you know, I actually think that it goes both ways. And you can't know because it depends on how the malware is going to work. Sometimes that can put things into motion that you can't stop. But a lot of times, let's say that you discover malware is happening and it's encrypting stuff in the background. If you shut it down and stop it and then open that drive on another computer externally, not booting from that drive, you may be able to recover stuff that it has not gone through the encryption process with if it's chunking through data. So there's pros and cons to that.
Yeah, because the other side of it is there is software, there is capabilities to where when you shut that down, it either one, wipes everything, and or two, can encrypt everything in ways that you almost can't get back.
That's right.
I should say almost because I'll never say never, but it's really hard to get back. And so there's two sides to that. I agree with both sides. I mean, I don't really have an answer. I think both of them are issues, right?
Yeah, I think they're both legitimate.
I'm not picking sides on it. They're legitimate. I don't know how to answer or resolve the two either.
I'm more of the shut it down. Or number one, what I can totally agree with is get it offline. You'll disconnect the avenue or the pathway that they have to connect to your hardware, whether it doesn't matter whether it's a light bulb or a computer or whatever.
Yeah, for in or out reasons.
Yeah, get it offline. And then you have to make the call. Do you want to shut it down? Do you need your expert to look at it? I guess I look at it this way. If you're not an IT person, you probably want to get your expert to look at it. If you are and you know what you're doing, you may want to just shut that thing off and then examine it externally and see what you can at least recover or get from that device. But
Yeah, the other thing is, the reason that they're telling you not to shut it down also, this assumes that you have an IT team that then you put in your protocols that say when there's a breach or a problem, here's the actions that we take. One of them is we get a hold of our IT partners immediately, and then our IT partners can look at it. And if it's a remote connection, if you've shut it down, now if we need to look at it remotely, then you go, you're telling me now I got to boot that thing up again?
Right.
Now you've shut down and rebooted since would rather see it with the problem but untouched. So if you've got an IT guy that you can bring on quickly, and that's the real value of IT professionals and everything else, is say, you know, hey, I can get a hold of my IT guy. They'll be on my computer in less than an hour or whatever the case may be. Then it's like, all right, I should leave it on and let them at least look first.
Exactly. Which is
if they decide to shut it down, then they do, and et cetera. But you don't want to go through that whole process if they can see it fresh. Now, if you don't have an IT person, you're like, I'm going to have to call them. It's Friday. I'm going to have to call them. I'm out of town on Monday. I guess I'll try to call them on Tuesday, and then they can't get there till, say, Thursday because you turned it off or whatever. You know, you're taking this cycle that could have been really simple and making it very complex. So I agree with the first one, although I see both sides of the discussion.
Yeah. And number two is call your IT team immediately. It's important to contain the breach before it infects the rest of your network and causes any more damage. Again, why you want to pull it offline. Your IT team will be able to investigate the issue, determine what went wrong, what the impact was, and mitigate the breach quickly. They say don't try to fix this on your own. Attempting to run system cleanup or your antivirus software can most of the time only waste time and cause more damage. Call the experts immediately.
And it's the kind of thing, too, where if you have remote people that can look at it, they can look at it remotely very quickly, whereas scheduling a time to come out may take more time. And so that's kind of the reason to say, hey, keep it on. Let us just check real quick. Then we'll make a decision and tell you what we think is best. Hey, you know what? Might as well just turn that off. Or you know what? So there's ways to do that. And the problem is, how do you disconnect right away and let us see it? The answer is you disconnect immediately. Yeah. Then when we need to see it, we connect it just for a minute for us to just check. It doesn't take us too long to at least get a handle on things. And then we can tell you whether you should, you know, disconnect it, turn it off, or what you should do from there. And that way you get kind of the most professional viewpoint that we can get about the choices, right?
Exactly.
All right. Go ahead, Jay.
Step three is call your attorney. Depending on the size of your breach, your attorney may want to refer you to outside legal counsel with privacy and data security expertise who can advise you on federal and state laws about the impacted breach. So if you know this is a breach and you know what's going on, you're going to be wanting to get on the phone with your attorney pretty quick.
Yeah, because there's a lot of laws that relate to breaches or potential breaches and stuff, especially if you deal with credit card data and or like pharmacy data or any personal data. If you're a doctor, you know, this kind of, there's all kinds of reasons that, and you've got to have people that know these things and know what to do. And the best thing to do is get an attorney and say, hey, am I good on this? And, you know, they can let you know. And that might be overkill for some companies too. I mean, I get that it's, you know, who has an attorney just on speed dial, right? If you're a small company,
right.
But it is important. And we mainly want to point it out because we don't want it to be something that you could have done that you didn't because you didn't know. So we want to tell you. And if it doesn't really apply to you, then, hey, I'm a self-owner operator. I can get an attorney if I need one, but I don't have one. You know, you may not want to spend time on it, but it is something critical and important to be aware of that it does matter. And there are laws and rules and guidelines that people have ignored that in tech forever. But I'm telling you, it's coming to a point where you won't be able to ignore it any longer. You're going to have all kinds of troubles. So tech is changing fast in that regard.
Indeed.
All right, next one, what? Change passwords and secure all accounts, Jay?
That's right, change passwords. Your IT team is working on containing the breach, and you're going to want to make sure that all your accounts are secure. Now, I would recommend you get onto a different device, of course. Don't try to use the one that's having an issue. But make sure that you've got multi-factor authentication involved. You've got that whatever accounts or things that are being a problem, you're getting that stuff changed. You need to begin working through all your accounts, making sure they're secure. Start with ones that contain financial information like credit card numbers, social security numbers. Prioritize those first.
Amen. And it's very important to have, you know, appropriate passwords. You can't have bad passwords. You got to have good, strong passwords. There's a debate whether you should change your password often or not. I'm in the camp that says don't. Just make it unique enough to where it's not a problem. I'm not saying changing it once in a while is a bad idea, but I'm just saying I wouldn't have consistent changes. That's a disaster waiting to happen to get yourself locked out of your account one mistake every time you change it. So I think that's more dangerous personally.
I agree. It also usually generally makes people have weaker passwords where they're just incrementing a number or something like that. So that security practice, I say in quotes, has kind of been ruled out, but you still have a lot of governments and holdover stuff that saw that originally that came out like in the late 80s, early 90s, and are still adhering to that, oh, you got to rotate your password every 90 days, that really makes things less secure. You're better off using a long, strong, good password and not locking yourself out.
Not only less secure, but it takes a chance that, like I say, if you work for a company that has, you know, 50, 100, 200, whatever people, hey, man, someone's always locking themselves out, and it is a nightmare to solve.
And you all, I mean, look at the cost of just dealing with that because, you know, you have 3-4 people a day who can't get in now, and you've got to have somebody just dedicated to fixing that stuff and spending
an
hour or two a day.
They're not doing it on purpose. They didn't try to screw up. It just, you know, people get locked out. It's like, I don't know why. I swear I saved the password in here and it's supposed to, but it doesn't work. And now I got to, you know, it's that all the time, right?
Yeah, it's a poor practice.
All right. Number 5, check your bank accounts, Jay.
That's right. Not all cyber attacks are financially motivated. However, making your bank accounts the primary target is often what they do. So as the breach is being mitigated, check all your bank accounts and payment processing tools, including third-party merchant accounts, and all employee payroll, everything, for any anomalies or sudden changes. You want to make sure that you're on top of this stuff more so than ever while you're dealing with the aftermath of an attack like that.
Amen to that. All right. Zions Bank emailed me a security thing that I found pretty interesting, and I thought I'd share it with you really quick, Jay. This is interesting. Zion Bank, in our efforts to enhance our security and security awareness amongst our financial partners, we wanted to shed light on a new threat. They call it a persistent cyber threat, Jay, known as smishing. S-M-I-S-H-I-N-G. Heard of it?
Smishing. I have.
Okay. Most people haven't heard about it. I've heard about it, but it's kind of interesting. And they say understanding this threat and taking preventative measures is critical for not only individual, but especially business security accounts. Now, it's cool that my bank is sending me this, by the way, because I'm glad they're like on it, too. And I know about this. I'm just telling you that it's neat to see them really send this out to their consumers now, because at the bank, I'm not anybody special. I'm just a guy. Right? Well, so I got it just as a consumer. What is smishing? Then they highlight this and say a blend of words, SMS, if you will. And phishing, smishing, refers to the fraudulent attempts to basically take sensitive information via text messages. They say these messages might be text, but they might come from banks or entities or even make you think they're from your cell carrier or legitimate sources because you can't know, Jay.
That's right. Yeah, it's social engineering just to try to trick you over SMS, because you will automatically think that, especially if they spoof a number or whatever, that it's legitimate and they can get you to click on links and or divulge security codes like two-factor stuff or whatever.
Yeah, so it's basically a blend of, you know, using SMS, text, words, this, that, to kind of blend this together. And so it's, we want to seek for information to get you to divulge information for us, usually financial related. How do you identify the smishing, so to speak? Suspicious senders, one of the biggest ways. Yeah, if it comes from an unfamiliar number, a shortened number, etc., look out. Okay, oftentimes these messages carry a sense of urgency, Jay. Oh, you got to do this, or you got to take action now somehow. And they always oftentimes request personal information. Sometimes they'll do a preliminary one that's not too personal and get you to go along, and then it becomes these personal informations. So right. The point that I'm getting at is if you see this along the way and you kind of go, well, the first one had emergency kind of, but they didn't have the other factors. Then you get another one that requests personal information. Then you go, oh, wait, okay. All these things should be treated with suspicion, not in a just enemy way, but just a way that says, look, I'm on the lookout all the time. You got to be so cautious.
Stay skeptical. You are
in the internet world, driving down the streets of pretty unsavory places sometimes without realizing it is the point. And you can protect yourself from smishing. Is that the way they say it, Jay? Smishing?
Yeah, if you're Sean O'Connery, I guess you'd say smishing. But
anyway, I'm just having fun. Smishing. But anyway, this smishing, no, I can't even say it right. Anyway,
smishing.
This new smishing thing. Never click on unverified links, Jay. Don't do that. Just don't do it. Okay? Yeah, I know that you just think, but unless you know the source well and you're familiar with it and you're consistent and confident, don't click on unverified or even questionable links that you just don't know. I mean, unless you're clear, it's like, man, I've worked with this for 8 years. It's fine. Fine. But you got to be really, really careful about that. All right. Two, you got to avoid sharing sensitive information no matter what on these things. Every one of them wants personal info. Regularly update and secure your devices, folks. That's a big way. I get that in some ways you say, well, I don't like all the updates. I know there's a pro and con, but overall you got to lean towards making those updates happen. And then they say sincerely Zions Bank. And so they give you this pretty good detail to the consumer. I was pretty impressed with my bank in that regard, Jay.
Yeah, it's a lot of these SMS things are going to be delivering information to you, like logon codes, maybe for two-factor things, or updates to your account, maybe your balance or things like that. That's all fine. But if somebody's asking, if they're interacting with you in a two-way manner, be very suspicious about that, because that's not going to be very likely. Your bank's not going to contact you on text message and want to, you know, with a person, you know, that's going to interact with you in a two-way manner. There's also you don't want to respond. Okay, if they're asking a question, you may just want to call your bank outright. Don't respond to these things. And here's another one that people are using now. There's a tracking thing that's going around with, and this is also falls in the category of smishing, is that you'll get spam and it will say something like stop at the end, you know, stop to opt out of these messages. Don't do that. If you're on an iPhone, you can actually click. There's a thing that says just junk mail this. It kind of reports it to Apple, says this is a junk. If they get enough of that stuff, they can look for it to try to filter it. But you don't reply to them.
But it doesn't give yourself away in the process either.
Right, because if you reply to them, you do two things. Number one, you legitimize that your number's there and there's somebody that's willing to talk back, and that you're setting yourself up as a mark when you do that. But number two, as a carrier, they now have a two-way message from you, so they can get details sometimes like your phone. I've seen private investigators do this, like they can get location data and some other stuff because you've interacted. Now you have like a customer relationship with this person because they replied to you. So especially that automated stuff or things that you think they are or they're spam, just mark them, block them the number, whatever, do it on your end. Don't reply to them though, because it doesn't do any good. And I've seen a lot of these. I've in the past tried to opt out of some things, and you're right. It just, you're verifying your number and it just makes it worse. It's like trying to reply to somebody on spam email and say, oh, please don't email me anymore. It's not going to work. You're just going to get more.
Yeah. Kind of like trying to stop Mike Tyson if he was after you, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you better cover your ears.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is another edition of Tech Watch Radio. Now listen, I really want you to understand, we're here not only on the radio for fun and to keep you up on what's happening and keep an eye on tech and all that kind of stuff, but we're also consultants in the IT world. And if you want to go to networkprovidersinc.com, that's networkprovidersinc.com. You can learn more about all of our services. And we want this podcast really to serve as a way to kind of interact and get to know all of you, a way to let you know that we are professionals, but we're real people too. And then, hey, networkprovidersinc.com. And you can, you know, if any of our services have value to you, would love to work with you. NPI Tech Guys is the website for the podcast, along with Apple and iTunes and everywhere else. But npitechguys.com is the website for not only the podcast, but you can click this cool button that our web developer put on there. You click it one way, and it's got all the shows and all the show notes. You click it the other way, it's like a switch, and you switch, and then you got the news all from networkprovidersinc.com right there on one single web page. It's pretty neat. So check that out, npitechguys.com. Either way, you can sign up at networkprovidersinc.com and get emails from us with a lot of these tech tips and some of the things that we talk about in writing so that you can share them with your loved ones and friends, or, you know, spread the word and that kind of stuff, right? So that's available as well. So it's networkprovidersinc.com and NPI, like network providers, npitechguys.com. Those are the two websites for who we are and what we do. Also, we have AM and FM radio stations up and down the line. We'd like to thank them for all that they do. Without them, this show wouldn't even be possible. So thank you so much. We hope it's been educational and a little bit entertaining along the way. For Jay Harrison and Sam Bushman, we keep an eye on tech so you don't have to. Hey, make it a great day. Tech Day, will you? Thanks.